Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. At SFO, you can discover award-winning flavors and unique shops all before takeoff. Learn more about what's at SFO at flysfo.com.
Hey, it's Avery Trufelman, host of Articles of Interest. And I've got to say, I've been a fan of KQED ever since I was a little kid, and I would come out to San Francisco to visit my grandma. It was just what we'd always turn on every time we got in the car, every time we were making dinner and turning on the radio. It was always KQED. And then over the years, I've become a massive fan of KQED podcasts because this is local reporting at its best. These are answers to questions you've always wanted to know, interviews with exciting, unusual voices, necessary journalism, all told with love and care and artistry. And did you know that a majority of KQED's funding actually comes from members? It's just people like you and me supporting the programs they love, while also getting access to cool events, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. If you want to sign up and be a part of this amazing community, visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts to become a member today. That's podcasts with an S. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your support.
From KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Saul Gonzalez in Los Angeles. For the first time in 30 years, California's state prison population is below 100,000 people. That, according to the state's Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections. Part of the decline is due to the coronavirus and prison officials releasing more sick and lower-level offenders as a way to keep inmates and staff safe. But it's also because of wider trends in criminal justice reform and a U.S. Supreme Court ruling back in 2011 ordering the state to reduce its prison population because of overcrowding. Let's turn to the pandemic and its continuing effect on vulnerable workers in California. A COVID-19 outbreak at a big Central Valley poultry processing plant has grown to 73 confirmed cases, and one worker has died. KQED's Alex Hall has more.
Late last week, the outbreak at Foster Farms in the town of Livingston ranked as the largest in Merced County. Livingston Mayor Gurpal Samra says he and other city officials met with Foster Farms representatives on Thursday. The company told him a total of 73 workers at the plant had tested positive for the coronavirus. One of those workers has died. Samra says he and other local officials will visit the plant, which employs about 3,200 people, to make sure the company is following adequate safety protocols.
Not only to hear what they have to say, but to actually confirm that they're actually doing what they said they were doing. So we will go on site.
Samra says he plans to speak with Merced County Department of Public Health officials about the Foster Farms outbreak later today. Livingston is among numerous communities in the San Joaquin Valley experiencing a surge in COVID-19 cases. For the California Report, I'm Alex Hall in Fresno.
As the virus takes its toll on Californians' health and lives, it's also, of course, taking a toll on jobs. And state lawmakers are demanding that California's Employment Development Department improve its beleaguered system of delivering unemployment benefits. KQED's Julie Chang reports.
Over a million Californians still want to know why they haven't received their unemployment benefits. That's how many applications are stalled because of mistakes or ineligibility. That's according to the director of the EDD, who said at a hearing yesterday it will be until September to process just the 239,000 backlog claims that have been resolved. San Francisco Assemblymember David Chu accused the EDD of ignoring Californians who submitted claims but have run into red tape.
You say you need more information. Now, your online portal doesn't tell our constituents what more information EDD needs. EDD doesn't send communications to the constituents that specify what information you need. Our constituents can't reach people through your call centers to tell you what you need.
Chu has been openly critical of the EDD, saying the agency has been failing Californians. He and his colleagues have been inundated with calls from constituents, he said, unable to receive benefits, now over 4 months into the pandemic.
I know there are many good rank-and-file staffers at EDD who are working hard, but we need fundamental reform of this agency at the leadership level. We've needed it for years, and it needs to happen now.
EDD says it's hiring and training staff to meet the avalanche of claims. This comes as Governor Gavin Newsom announced earlier this week the creation of a strike team to improve the agency's efficiency. For the California Report, I'm Julie Chang.
Support for the California Report comes from California Earthquake Authority, a not-for-profit offering earthquake insurance to help Californians protect their financial futures. For more information, visit earthquakeauthority.com. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems, and the James Irvine Foundation, committed to a California where all low-income workers have the power to advance economically. Learn more at irvine.org.
With fewer than 100 days until Election Day, the fight is intensifying over Proposition 22. It's an initiative that would let Uber and other gig economy companies continue classifying workers as contractors. If the measure passes, these companies wouldn't have to pay for things like overtime and unemployment insurance. KQED's Sam Harnett has more.
Back in May, California's Attorney General opened a lawsuit against Uber and Lyft for allegedly misclassifying workers. Now, supporters of Prop 22 are suing the Attorney General for how he worded the title of their ballot initiative, which is part of his job. He revised the title. It was Changes Employment Classification Rules for App-Based Transportation and Delivery Drivers. Now, it exempts app-based transportation and delivery companies from providing employee benefits to certain drivers. Here's UC Davis law professor Christopher Elmendorf.
The courts essentially say that if a reasonable person could deem the title to be fair and even-handed, then it's not the court's rule to second-guess the attorney general's judgment.
Uber, Lyft, and other gig companies have already spent over $110 million on the ballot initiative. For the California Report, I'm Sam Harnett.
And now to a preview of our sister show, The California Report's weekly magazine. This week, host Sasha Coca tells us about a new documentary chronicling what happens after a public hospital serving mostly low-income people of color closes and how COVID-19 magnifies the crisis.
We have no hospital, period. It's gone. Something like that happens, where am I going to go?
The film by Bo Kovitz is called The Desert, and it follows ambulance drivers, firefighters, and patients, some of whom now have to travel hours on buses to get treatment. Doctors Medical Center in West Contra Costa County shut down 5 years ago, citing budget concerns. They mostly serve patients who were uninsured or on Medi-Cal. Now, former hospital employees have set up a tiny urgent care clinic where they try to triage patients with just a quarter of their former staff.
Okay, we're gonna take a listen to your lungs, okay?
These days, COVID says, they're worried about how to deal with an influx of COVID-19 patients, as well as people with chronic conditions who aren't getting care because they're concerned about exposure to the virus.
A lot of people in the years leading up to the hospital's closure have said that it will take a public health crisis of extreme proportions to reveal how essential Doctors Hospital and other safety net hospitals are.
She adds, the realities of healthcare disparities are going to last far beyond this pandemic. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca.
You can stream The Desert on KQED's video documentary series, Truly California. That's at kqed.org/trulyca. And you can hear Sasha's interview with a filmmaker on this week's California Report magazine. So check it out. And that's the California Report for Friday, July 31st, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our engineers are Katie McMurrin and Danny Bringer. I'm Saul Gonzalez in L.A. Have a great weekend and stay safe.
Hi, I'm Sasha Coca, host of the California Report magazine. Every week, we bring you stories about what connects us in the giant, diverse Golden State. Because what happens in California changes the world.
I love this place. We were once seen as like the place to be, California. The land of milk and honey. That's where you go to Sunshine State. But we just have challenges right now.
KQED's California Report magazine. New episodes drop every Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, this is Brittany Luce from NPR's It's Been a Minute. KQED's podcasts like The Bay, Bay Curious, Mind Shift, Right Nowish, and more all tell the stories of the Bay and beyond with reliable, human-centered journalism. They aim to inspire, make you think, entertain, and expand your understanding of the place you call home. Here's how you can support podcasting at KQED.
Showing your support is easy, and you can join Brittany in supporting KQED Podcast too at donate.kqed.org/podcast. That's donate.kqed.org/podcast.
Do you love learning about the San Francisco Bay Area? Its history, its people, its unique blend of cultures? Then you should check out the Bay Curious book. I'm Katrina Schwartz, editor and producer on the Bay Curious podcast, and I'm here to let you know that for the month of May, we've worked out a sweet deal for KQED podcast listeners. Right now, you can get the Bay Curious ebook for $1.99. That's right, $1.99. Just search for Bay Curious wherever you get your ebooks or find a link in our show notes. This offer does expire at the end of the month, though, so you'll want to act on it fast. Happy reading!